talking about leadership. I understand that's our theme and our thought for this week. If we're going to learn about leadership, I reckon it'd be good to learn from the best, don't you? And I don't think we can learn from any better than our Lord and His example of a leader. Amen. And so tonight I want to talk about our leader, and tomorrow night I want to talk about His leadership in the 23rd Psalm. If you would, we can all stand, if you would, as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Let's start in verse number 1. And really, I want to, most of our thoughts will be from verse number 1, but I want to look at a couple of statements that he makes in verses 2 and 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. Underline those words on the page, if not, or on your heart anyhow, if not on the page. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Our Father, we pray now You'd bless the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we stand here where the arm of flesh will surely fail us. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your touch. We need Your breath on us tonight. I pray that You'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. Bless this meeting. And may we not do anything here that would hinder or be anything other than a blessing and a help to this great church, Lord. We thank You for what You've done around here and what You're going to do this week, Father. We pray You'd save tonight that soul that may be nearest to hell that's under the sound of our voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank You. You may be seated. Now, He said, He leadeth me. Sheep need a leader. The Bible compares us a lot of times as human beings, as God's people, and even as just humanity in general. He talks about us as sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Let me tell you something about sheep. This, if you got a big ego and you know you got too much self-esteem, maybe this will help you tonight. Sheep are dumb critters. Sheep need a leader. Some of the most destructive animals in this world are sheep. In fact, there are, from what I've read, millions of acres around the globe today that have been ruined from being profitable pasture land to being wasteland because of unhindered habits of sheep. When they don't have a shepherd, in other words, what I'm saying, when they don't have a shepherd, they're going to make a mess out of everything. Sheep need a leader. And so we see here the psalmist. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. There's our leader right there. Amen. Now the psalmist David here, the psalmist, he was a shepherd, but he's not talking in Psalm 23 as a shepherd. He's talking as a sheep about his shepherd. Yes, sir. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now I want to look at a few things, just kind of introduction here about our leader. Let me say, number one, he is a living leader. There's a lot of folks today that's following a dead man or a dead woman. You can follow Buddha if you want to, but let me tell you something about Buddha. He's no longer with us. You can follow Muhammad if you want to, but he's nothing but a bunch of bones bleached out in the desert somewhere. You can follow old Mary Baker Eddy if you want to. Of course, she said that death is nothing but a state of mind. Of course, she buried five husbands. I don't know about you, but I'm a little suspicious of some old gal that's buried five husbands. I mean, there might be more to that than a heart attack, in my opinion. But she said death's nothing but a state of mind, and yet look where she's at today. She's in the grave. But our leader, thank God today, is a living leader. We're not following a dead man. We don't have an empty religion. Paul said, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. But then he goes on to say, but now is Christ risen. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen like he said. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. I just got done reading book about Nathan Bedford Forrest, great cavalry commander of the war between the states. And one time at the Battle of Harrisburg, Mississippi, he got wounded in the foot. And they took him to a field hospital and put him in the field hospital there to help him to recover. And as soon as they did, the rumor somehow got out that General Forrest was dead. Now immediately two things began to happen. When the rumor got out General Forrest is dead, there was great rejoicing in the Union armies, in the camp of the Union. He had been such a thorn in the side of General Sherman that General Sherman had said, the man that is responsible for the defeat or destruction of Nathan Bedford Forrest, he said he's going to be promoted to general. And when General Sherman got word that Forrest, from what he was had heard, that he was dead, he told General Mower, who was the Yankee commander that had been over that battle, he said, I'm going to see that you're promoted. And he said, if Abraham Lincoln won't promote you, he said, you can have my command and take over my command. I mean, they were ecstatic that finally Nathan Bedford Forrest is dead. There's also another thing that began to happen in the southern camp. A gloom began to spread. Despair began to spread. He was one of the most loved generals in all of the South. His men, the book I read, used even the term almost a cult-like following among his men that were in his army. And of course, when they heard and got word that their leader was dead, they began to despair. They said, oh, this is over. We're defeated. We're whooped. This is over with. We might as well just forget it and go to the house. Well, word got back to General Forrest in the hospital bed about what was going on, and folks thought he was dead. Well, he didn't wait to recover. He didn't put his uniform on, but he hobbled outside of the hospital, jumped on a horse, and in his shirt sleeves he took off at a headlong gallop and rode through the camp where his men were and began to spread the word, say, hey, boys, I'm still with you. I'm still alive. Just got shot in the foot. It's going to take me a little bit to heal up. And they said, in that book I read, it said that rejoicing began to spread throughout that camp. A new life was breathed into those men from one end to the other. Now let me take you back in time 2,000 years ago. Brother Jesus on that cross said, it is finished. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. And he paid the final price for our sins. They took him down off that cross, put him in a borrowed tomb, and I'm sure that in the hellish halls of the damned, there was great glee and rejoicing. I'm sure that every devil in hell thought, we've won this thing. We finally got him where we want him. And in the camp of the saints, there was great gloom and despair. But thank God today, hallelujah today, for that third day that the stone rolled away and Jesus come out and is alive. He said, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Saying we have a living leader today. These two little slave boys belonged to a Muslim man over there in Arabia. And he taught them the ways of Islam and taught them to pray to Mecca, taught them about the Prophet Muhammad. And one day when they were in the town running errands and so forth, they ran into a missionary, and he told them about Jesus, who was alive. And they went back that night to their tent and they started talking, and one of them said, now our master here, he told us about Mecca and Muhammad, told us about where the bones of Muhammad are, how we need to pray five times a day to Mecca and so forth. And the other one said, and the missionary, he told us about Jesus and told us that he died for our sins, but he's alive now. And they said, which one you reckon that we ought to go with? And the other one said, I think we ought to go with the one that's alive. Amen. I think that's what we ought to do, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. He is a living leader. And not only is he a living leader, but he is, my friend, a loving leader. He's a loving leader. The Bible talks about Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. Now there's some folks following that idol shepherd, I-D-O-L shepherd. And then there's those that follow the Bible. Talks about in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 10, that hellish antichrist and those that'll follow him into perdition. And then the Bible talks about those that creep into houses and lead captive silly women led astray with sins and laden with divers lust. But none of those folks love the ones that's following them. The devil doesn't love you. The world doesn't love you. The flesh doesn't love you. But what's the Bible say in Romans chapter number 2? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I mean, our shepherd died for us. Our shepherd defends us from the lion and the bear. And our shepherd directs us. You'll never have to worry about his intentions when he's leading you. Some of our leaders in our country today, I'm a little iffy about their intentions, aren't you? I don't think they love this country too good and have our best interest in heart, at heart. But you can count on it, brother. Jesus is a loving leader. Not only is he a living leader, he's a loving leader, but he is a learned leader. That means he always knows what he's doing. The Bible says if the blind lead the blind, where are they going to wind up at? Both of them's going to be in the ditch calling AAA. I mean, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall in the ditch. But our Savior, He's already been there. He's already been back. He knows where we're going. He knows how to get there. He knows every step of the way. He can provide all the way. I tell you, He is a learned leader. Well, that's introduction. He's a living leader. He's a learned. He's a loving leader. He is a learned leader. Now, let's get on down here to verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a personal statement. The Lord is my shepherd. You look through this psalm, you'll find 15 times, me, my, I. Now, there's a lot of other people in this old world, but the psalmist said, hey, me and that shepherd, there's something between us. We've got something going. Now listen, the Lord is Israel's shepherd. Psalm 100 said that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. That's talking about primarily Israel, although we make application to us today, that's talking about Israel nationally. Psalm 78 said He made His people like sheep. He led them like a flock. That's talking about Israel. And by the way, I'm glad God is a shepherd of Israel. You want me to run a little rabbit right there? I don't care what the Arabs think about it. I don't care what Hamas thinks about it. I don't care how many missiles Iran wants to launch. Israel's still God's people. He that toucheth him toucheth the apple of His eye. And that's not going to change anytime soon. Well, I don't have time to say much about that, but the Lord is Israel's shepherd. Also, the Lord is the church's shepherd. I mean, He said in Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, feed the flock of God which is among you, which the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. There's a flock. He talks in the next verse about grievous wolves that'll come in not sparing the flock. Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter number 5, he talks about the elders among you. They're like shepherds. They're under shepherds under the big shepherd. And so Jesus is the shepherd of the church. Amen. Amen. So Israel can say, the Lord is Israel's shepherd. And the church, thank God today, can say that the Lord is the church's shepherd. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I'm glad you can say, if you're saved, that the Lord is my shepherd. But that don't hinder me none from saying that the Lord is my shepherd. He's personal, you see. It's not just the world at large. It's not just the body of the church. It's not just the nation of Israel. But the Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal statement. Now we see here said, He leadeth me. That means He's ahead of us. In verse number 4, He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So he's with us. In verse number 6, we read, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There he's behind us. Did you get that? He's ahead of us. He's with us. He's behind us. I mean, he's just all around us. He's a personal shepherd. Also, not only is this a personal statement, but it is a possessive statement. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 100 said, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. John chapter number 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I like what Song of Solomon said. The bride right there said, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Now to possess that sheep, to own that sheep, that in that part of the world, that shepherd, of course, first of all, he's got to buy the sheep. You can't just go, amen. It's just like if I'm driving down the road here and all good. I like the name of this town. I mean, it's all good and all good, amen. But I didn't bring my trailer, but if I did, I couldn't just drive by a field full of cows and say, that's a nice bunch of cows. Wonder if they got a loading chute over there. Huh? And back up, and I mean go to loading cows. Man, there'd be a fellow with blue lights come after me here in a minute, wouldn't it? You can't be doing that. You got to buy those cows, first of all. And so the Lord, he's not in the business, amen. He's not in the business of sheep rustling. That's what I'm talking about. He's not going and getting sheep that don't belong to him. And don't get nervous. I'm not talking about Calvinism. Amen. But I tell you what I'm talking about is he bought us with his own blood. And he'll buy anybody who wants to be for sale. I'll put it that way. How about that? But I mean a price for that sheep. That sheep's got to be purchased. That sheep's got to be paid. And that's what our shepherd did. He bought us. We belong to him fair and square. Hey, you say, preacher, how much did he pay? He didn't reach into his pocketbook and pull out a checkbook. He didn't reach into his pocket and pull out cash money. He didn't sell off an oil well in Texas. He didn't sell off his stocks and bonds. But he went all the way to Calvary, laid down his life on an old rugged cross. He let them beat him, crown him with thorns, and pierce his hands and his feet, hang him up to die, and shed his blood on that old rugged cross. We are his purchased possession. We're not our own. We're bought with a price because our good shepherd, he bought us. We belong to him. Amen. That shepherd, to own those sheep, he's got to buy them. I can say the Lord is my shepherd because he bought me. Also, that shepherd, he's got to mark those sheep. Well, now, in that part of the world, any of y'all ever read the book Old Yeller? You remember what that old boy did to those hogs, don't you? He marked their ears. See, folks used to let hogs run wild. That's where the old saying, hog wild, unless it came from Mark chapter 5, or maybe both of them. But anyway, folks used to let their hogs run wild, just like the cowboys, you know, round up, they'd get the calves, they'd brand them to mark, they'd put Double Bar Ranch or a Flying W or whatever it was, and they'd brand in the hide of that cow a mark that identified him as a personal possession of the owner of that ranch. Now, that's how they do over in the Middle East. And they'll get that when the fellow buys that sheep, or however how many he buys, he'll bring them in, and he'll get that sharp knife, and he'll get a hold of that sheep's ear, and he'll cut a slash, or he'll cut a notch, or he'll cut a V. You know, every farmer, every rancher has their own mark that identifies that sheep as one of his. And there's no such thing as a sheep being owned by a rancher or a shepherd over there that is not marked and identified with that shepherd. Now, that's what our shepherd did with us. I mean, the minute he saved you, he started putting some marks on you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I've never been marked. Well, it could be you've never been owned then. It could be you need to come through the door into the sheepfold and become property of the good shepherd. He'll put his, he'll mark your directions. All of a sudden you're going a different way. He'll mark your desires and he'll mark your destination. He'll mark your appetites. He'll mark your assembly. He'll mark your habits. I didn't say you'd be perfect. I didn't say that all of a sudden you wake up and you're sinless. No, none of us have gotten there. We will when we get to glory, but we're not there yet. But I mean, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Every sheep that the Lord owns, He puts a mark on. He puts a mark of love of the brethren. He puts a mark of love of the Word of God. He puts a mark of an appetite to do something for God and have a relationship with Him. I'm talking about there's some changes, some unreversible changes that take place. Once that ear is notched, it can never become unnotched. Amen. I'll say that if I am behind what used to be a Campbellite pulpit. Say, preacher, don't you think that those that endure unto the end shall be saved? No, that's talking to Israelites in the great tribulation. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they'll not pluck them out of my hand, and my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Yes, sir, when He saves you, He put eternal life, forever life, everlasting salvation. I mean, He'll put some marks on you. So it's a possessive statement. Now, not only does He have to buy the sheep and have to mark the sheep, but He has to tend the sheep. A good shepherd, see, the life of the sheep is all wrapped up in what kind of a shepherd he has. They are men. The Bible talks about that hireling. They don't care for the sheep. They flee when they see the wolf coming. They have no, they're just in it for what they can get out of it. The good shepherd. And see, a man who's a good shepherd, it makes all the difference in the world. He doesn't let those sheep graze just anywhere. He rotates them regularly. He sees that they have those still waters that the psalmist talks about. Those green pastures, they don't happen by accident in that part of the world. It takes planning. It takes work. It takes some plowing. It takes some planning. It takes some effort on the part of the good shepherd to make sure that those sheep have something good to eat. He directs those sheep. He leads them. He uses his rod and his staff. We'll try to get into some more of that tomorrow night when we talk to you about the leadership of the shepherd. He anoints their head with oil. There's a purpose. There's a reason for all of that. But every aspect, he shears them. He cuts that old wool off. Every aspect of that sheep's life is under the care of the shepherd. Sheep are not independent critters. Our neighbor, when I was growing up, we lived down on a creek. And I mean, there were bluffs down there just near about as steep as that wall right there. And our neighbor had goats. I mean, you talk about goats with a capital G, brother. Old horns about that long. Old bit. I mean, you smell them rascals half a mile away. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And those goats, she didn't even have a fence. They just run wild, run loose. And I'd see those old bluffs, man, those old goats, they just run right up that thing, run through the woods eating any kind of leaves or, anything that they could get a hold of. They just eat any old thing. Goats don't care. You're not going to hurt a goat much. Sheep aren't that way. They're not independent critters. They need constant care, constant looking after, constant provision. And so the good shepherd tends his sheep. And so it is a possessive statement. It's a personal statement. It's a possessive statement. The Lord is my shepherd. But then he says, I shall not want. Not only is it a personal statement and a possessive statement, but it is a plentiful statement. What does I shall not want mean? Well, we drove 2 hours to get here. If you've ever driven 2 hours with five young'uns, you have an idea about what he's talking about. We've got five, and every one of them's got a wishbone, Brother Roloff said, got a wishbone as big as a stick of cordwood. That means they all time a-wanting something. You know what I'm talking about? I won't sit where she's sitting.
Yeah.
I want a drink. I want something to eat. Are we there yet? He got my toy. She put her hand. I mean, it's just endless cycle of wants and desires, isn't it? Can I get a witness right along in there? Amen. Yeah. That'll preach, won't it? Yes, sir. Always wanting something. Well, what did the psalmist say? He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I've got it all. If I've got Him, what else is there? I read through the 6 verses of this chapter, and brother, I found no complaining. There's zero complaining on the part of the sheep. This might help some of you. Did you know complaining's a terrible sin?
Right.
I mean, God killed more folks for complaining than did anything else. I used to didn't understand that till we started having youngins, and then I started pastoring Baptists. Now I see why He killed all them folks for complaining. Amen. I find no complaining. This sheep has zero complaints about his shepherd because, brother, if the Lord is my shepherd, what is there to fuss about? I find no conflict in these 6 verses. He's not butting heads with another sheep. He's not fussing with another sheep about who's a top dog. He's not in conflict with the shepherd's leadership saying, well, how come there's too much clover in this green grass we're laying down? And how come the path down to the still waters is too steep? No, there are no conflicts in this verse or in this chapter, because if the Lord is my shepherd, what is there to fight about? I read these 6 verses of Psalm 23, and I find no concern. Though he's in the presence of his enemies, though there's the valley of the shadow of death in front of him, though there may be danger in the surrounding area, brother, if the Lord is my shepherd, what is there to fear? There's no complaint, there's no conflict, there's no concern, because if the Lord is my shepherd, and he is, there's nothing to fuss about, there's nothing to fight about, there's nothing to fear. It's a plentiful statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What else could you want? I mean, if I get hungry, He's got my diet taken care of. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Those Israelites went through the wilderness for 40 years and never one time went hungry. They thought they were going to, and sometimes they didn't like the menu, but they never did go hungry. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What else could I want? If I'm hungry, my diet's taken care of. If I'm thirsty, my drink is taken care of. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I mean, those Israelites, the rock was smitten, waters came out. They had plenty to drink in the desert, plenty to drink in the wilderness. That woman at the well said, sir, give me this water. And Jesus said, you drink this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink the water that I give, it'll come up within you a well of everlasting water that'll never give out. I mean, when I'm thirsty, my drink is taken care of. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When I get down, my discouragement is taken care of. He restoreth my soul. When I'm lost, when I don't know where I'm going, my direction is taken care of. He leadeth me. When there's we're facing death, we're facing the grave, our death is taken care of. Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When I get out of line and do what I shouldn't do, my discipline is taken care of. Because it said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And when there's enemies around, that's all right. My danger is taken care of. Because it said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When there's distractions, I mean the pest and the little things, and hopefully we'll get into that tomorrow. When there's distractions, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth when I'm dry. Amen. My cup runneth over. And when it's my days, when I'm facing my days, that's all right. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then my destination is taken care of. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so I don't have to worry about diet. I don't have to worry about drink. I don't have to worry about discouragement. I don't have to worry about direction. I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about discipline. I don't have to worry about danger. I don't have to worry about distraction. I don't have to worry about running dry. I don't have to worry about my days. I don't have to worry about my destination. How come? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I mean, what else could you want? There's a fellow one time back in the days when preachers would send their message into the newspaper, and the newspaper would publish the title of Sunday's sermon. He was going to preach on the 23rd Psalm, and he sent to the newspaper, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the secretary at the newspaper wasn't sure if she had it all, so she sent back to the church secretary and said, "Is that all?" And the church secretary responded, "That's enough." Y'all ahead of me, ain't you? Well, when the paper came out, it read, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's enough." That's it right there. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Amen. Now here's the picture. Let me borrow your mind's eye, if I could use your imagination. Here's what David's doing. He's bragging on his shepherd. And I want you to see, if you could, a fence row. And on one side of this fence row, brother, there's a barren desert. On one side of this fence row, the grass has been pulled up by the roots and eaten, I'll get it out in a minute, eaten down to the bare ground. On one side of this fence row, there's bears and wolves roaming in the hillsides and in the woods. On one side of this fence row, the water's been trampled and been fouled up and been desecrated and been polluted. On one side of this fence row, there's a bunch of old scraggly-looking sheep. Their old wool's gathered up on them. It's matted, and it's been ever so long since they've been sheared. And on this side of the fence row, there's an old boy laid up in a tree, under a shade tree somewhere, that could care less about the state of his flocks. These old sheep are nasty. I mean, they're dirty. They're defiant. Let me stop right there and tell you a little story. We do a little livestock trading at home and everything, and I've only owned some sheep just one time, and I really never unloaded them. I went and got them and sold them before I ever got them off the trailer. But when I went to get them, they'd been running out, and the fella had them called up so we could load them. And of all places, I think the Lord lined this up just to give me this illustration. Of all places, he had those sheep put up in a hog pen. Now, there weren't any hogs in it, but it was still very evidently a hog pen. Now, I want to tell you something. If you had some old Hampshire sows and some old boars and shoats running around, they'd have been, as the old saying is, just happy as a hog in slop. They'd have been just having the time of their life in that mud. But it'd been raining, nasty anyway. But you talk about the most miserable-looking bunch of sheep you ever saw in your life. Their old wool was full of that hog mud. They looked like hog. They smelled like hog. But I want to tell you something. They stood in that old rain and that mud. I'll never get that picture out of my mind. Humped up. It was obvious that they were the most miserable looking sheep that you ever saw in your life. Now, brother, I could run a rabbit right there. I won't run it too far, but listen to me. God's sheep can get off in the hog pen. They sure can. Any hog pen the devil has, a saved man can get in it. He just can't be at home there and can't be happy while he's there. So get back with my picture. We're looking down that fence row and over here. Oh, this is the sorriest, poorest, scraggly. I mean, these sheep have got bugs in them and pests and infested in their wool. And these bugs that will crawl up, we'll talk more about that maybe tomorrow, they get up in those sheep's nose and eyes and lay eggs. And I mean, just drive them distracted. And it's very obvious as we look across that side of the pasture that there's some sheep that don't have a good shepherd. Now let's look on the other side. And we look over here and we see rolling hillsides. And we see that old fescue and clover coming up to your kneecaps. And we see that there is good streams of clear water running. We see that there's plenty to eat, there's plenty to drink. And we look at the sheep over here and we find that they're well sheared. They are well fed. I mean, they're happily and contentedly grazing on those green grassy hillsides. And over there's a shepherd with a loving eye that is watching them every step of the way and every minute of the day. Now let's move in a little closer. We come down, we walk down this fence row. And we find over here on this good side, there's a fat sheep. I mean a happy sheep, a well-fed sheep, a well-sheared sheep, a well-satisfied sheep. And he's looking through the fence. And on the other side of the fence, we see one of these old scraggly sheep. I mean, he's miserable. He's starving. His old rib bones are sticking out like quilting frames. His old wool is matted and dirty. And it's been obvious he's not been doctored and taken care of. And about this time, we perk our ears up and these sheep are talking. And we hear that one sheep on the good side. He says to the other, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now that's the picture right there. David's bragging on his shepherd. He's looking across. Can you hear him? He says, "Oh, you wouldn't believe how good it is over here." He said, "Oh, we've got plenty to eat." He said, "Oh, we've got plenty of good, still, clean waters we can drink out of." And he said, "There's no danger over here. The shepherd looks after us." He said, "We never have to worry. Every once in a while we get out of line, but he uses his rod and his staff on us in love and uses that rod to draw us closer to him. And I mean, everything's so good over here." And can you hear that sheep on the other side of the fence? He said, "Boy, I sure would like to get over there." Can you hear that fat sheep saying, "Oh, you can get over here." He said, "You mean to tell me there's a hole in the fence I can crawl through?" "Oh, no." He said, "You mean there's a spot I can squeeze through?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "You mean there's a low spot I can jump over? Maybe it broke down, the hedge is down?" "Oh, no." He said, "There's only one way in. You can't find another way. There's only one way." He said, "Come on down. Let me introduce you to the door." Remember John 10, Jesus said, "I am the door." The picture there, those old sheep pens, those old sheep folds, brother, they didn't have a gate on hinges like what we know of today. But from history and everything that we read, it tells us that the shepherd would bring those sheep into that fold. There's a gap in the hedge that the sheep would go through, and the shepherd would lay down himself and spend the night. Nothing could get in without going through the shepherd. Nothing could get out without going through the shepherd. That'll take care of you. Eternal life right there, won't it? Nothing comes in, nothing goes out. And so, listen. And so that he said, "Come on, walk with me. Let me introduce you to the door." And they go down there, and there standing that gap of the fence, there's the good shepherd. That fat sheep said, "This is my shepherd." Soul winners, we can't get them through the fence. All we can do is just introduce them to the door. It's between them and the door after that. But that old poor scraggly sheep said, "Surely you wouldn't want a sheep like me." "Oh yeah," he said, "I've been looking across on the other side said, I've been wishing you was over here. He said, you who would want an old sorry sheep like me? He said, I would. He said, matter of fact, I loved you. He said, well, he said, surely that'd be illegal for me coming across there and I don't belong to you. He said, oh no, I've already paid the price. So you can come in, amen. And that old scrawny sheep said, by repentance and faith, I believe I'd like to come in. And the door said, come on in, come on in.